All right, keep your Bibles open there to Judges chapter 18. We do have the parent orientation for the school, and got up a little earlier than normal, so my goal is to be done by 6 o'clock. So if I'm not done by 6 o'clock, don't say a word, okay? That's my goal here. As we mentioned this morning when we talked about, thank you for giving a title to that, Joseph. That wasn't a title, but he was really close. About going for it, not hesitating, not waiting, just being aggressive and going for it. People are paralyzed a lot of times by inactivity towards any type of achievement. Just to be real honest, in life, most people don't achieve much. And not that you need to be this, you know, great businessman or whatever, but I think there are some things in life and some things spiritually motivated. God wants us to be achievers, okay? God wants us to be achiever in the spiritual realm. God wants us to be achiever in many areas of our life. And most people get caught up in their own little thing and this life and the cares of this world, and they really don't achieve a lot. They don't accomplish anything. And of course, we understand that's not a pressure statement. God wants us to accomplish his will in our life. And God wants us to fulfill that which he has for us. And so it's very important between that we see that. There's a difference between what we a person who's an explorer and a person who is a settler. Whenever we're up on vacation, we end up inevitably, because my wife's parents live there and I take her there every year, we end up going through Oregon and we end up in the Washington area. And everywhere you go there, if you pay attention, you'll see little markers talking about the two men who explored the area. Anybody know who those are? Lewis and Clark. One time we went up there and we stayed in a little city in Washington for a few days. It was actually Long Beach, Washington, a little coastal town. And so we went to a little hike about 10 miles away from there. And not far from where we were, we didn't take that trail to go there. There was the spot where Lewis and Clark actually stopped and spent, I believe they spent the winter there. But they were explorers. They were sent to explore what was called the Louisiana Purchase. And they went through the land, they described it, to find the Columbia and get to the Pacific Ocean, which they did. They left in, I believe, 1804, and they finished it and returned and got back by 1806. Now, they were explorers. They went to see the land. They went to figure out what was in the land, where was it about, the waterway systems. But they did not end up settling the land. We also go through that area. There's places we'll go. We've been to a museum there several years ago, and they had parts of the Oregon Trail. That's where the settlers came in. They didn't just see the land. They went there to live in the land, to possess the land, and to settle there, make their homes there. And there's a big difference between those two. Explorers see what is at the place, but settlers move into that place and make their lives there. And that's where I'm going with tonight. Joshua had divided the land of the Canaan between the tribes of Israel. God had promised the land to them, and so they were going to get it. And so he, before his death, he divided the land amongst the tribes. Now there was 2.5 of the tribes that got their land on the other side of the Jordan. So the 9.5 tribes, he gave their land. And there was battles they fought together in the front end, but towards the end there, the land wasn't completely done, and they were supposed to go and settle their parts of the land. That's what he had told them to do. It was their inheritance, and they were to go there. Now, there would be enemies. They would have to battle. They would have to fight. God's goal was to get them completely out of the land so these people were not a snare to them going forward, because they were pagan idol worshipers. And so their goal was to go into the land and to clear it out, to fight the battles, and to settle in the lands. Problem was, many of the tribes failed in this endeavor. Yes, they got into the land. There was some partial obedience. Some of the people that they were supposed to get rid of, they put them under tribute. In other words, we'll let them stay here, we'll make them, you know, work for us and those type of things, pay us and so forth. And that did not work really well for them. And some of them just flat out did not fully occupy all of the land that they were supposed to. One of those that failed to conquer and completely possess their land was the tribe of Dan. Instead of conquest, they sent men into other areas of the country to find some land that would be easier for them to settle. They had all the land that was given to them, but they were like, you know, this one's going to take a little more effort. If we can find somewhere that's a little bit easier to settle, that would be better. So in our story, they sent five men out to do that. They find an area, it's Laish, that they felt would be an easier target. We read the story and it said they are like the Zidonians who were careless. They were not as prepared to protect themselves and their land. These spies returned to their tribe. They gave them the information about the land, but they also issued a challenge. The challenge is that they needed to do what God had put them into Canaan land. The reason that God had put them into the promised land to do, and that is to fully possess it and to settle it. To not be distracted by the labor that would be necessary, but to take everything God had given to them. Look at verse 9. And they said, "Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land." So they send the spies out, and these spies are very different than the 12 spies that were sent years before. They said, yes, the land is a very good land. This specific tract, not the promised land in general. All the promised land was pretty good land. But this land, it's a good land. And then they say, let's go and let's possess the land. Now, what's the message? The reason they were looking is they wanted an easier road. There was a land that was great. They could see that for themselves. They knew it was very good. But they had to go past seeing the land to being committed to settling the land. And by the way, there's a big difference there. A settler is a person who has traveled to an area to establish a permanent residence there and to colonize the area. That is what they were to do. They had already been in the land for many years. And yet they were still slothful to completely finish the job. The point is, they had to go past seeing what was there into land to making the commitment to, here it is, making it theirs. It's one thing to go in there and say, this place is great. It's another thing to take the next step and say, I know this place is great, but it's going to be my place. I'm going to make this where I'm residing. I'm going to make this part of my life. That was going to take some vision. They were going to have to see past all of the obstacles and see what the land could become. By the way, the people that traveled out west here, anybody that goes to a newer area to settle in, there's a lot of obstacles. Okay, you don't just go to an area and, oh, hey, we're ready to go. There's clearing out land. There's clearing out the wood. There's getting set up and finding water and all that's behind it. Vision is great, but vision helps us to see what is possible if we'll put the effort in. That would take planning. They would have to figure out what's it going to take to make this ours. It is going to take labor, hard work. By the way, that's where it gets tricky. We want everything handed to us. Can I just tell you something? There is no spiritual stimulus checks. Now, I don't think they should have passed out stimulus checks, but I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't send mine back. Okay. But we've kind of got to that point. There is no spiritual welfare. By the way, you know what welfare was like in the Bible, since you asked? The book of Ruth, when they would harvest their fields, if they were harvesting some of the harvest and it fell to the ground, they had to leave it. And the poor people of the land could come pick up which is called gleaning what they needed. That's what Ruth was doing, and she found herself a husband. So ladies, there's your game plan, okay? Unless you're already married, your game plan's over. It takes labor. It would take battling. There were enemies in the land. It was going to take sacrifice. Things would not be easy. The challenge that these people were given, and really the challenge to all the Israelites who had entered the promised land, was not just to just see the land, but to get in there and possess it and settle it. Not to be paralyzed by the way, whenever someone is paralyzed by inaction, they always find excuse. There's always a reason. It reminds me of the spies that I mentioned a minute ago that caused them to waste 40 years in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 13, you can thumb over there if you'd like. We're going to stay in Judges. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 to 28, they return. Verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. They went and saw it. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So they went out and they saw the land. They crossed over and went in. They were not possessing the land yet. And by the way, they brought the fruit back. There was evidence. Verse 27, it says, and they took him and they told him and said, we come into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. If they would have shut up right there, all would have been well. All they were supposed to do is go and tell them about the goodness of the land, not the next verse. Nevertheless, by the way, when everybody says that, there's issues. Something negative. It's like this is their social media. By the way, social media is disturbing. And by the way, be careful what, this is free. Be careful what you read on social media. People throw out there and say negative things about people and stuff like this, and they do it behind a thing, and they don't have to give account for it, and they don't have to prove the worthiness of it, and we just read it and believe it. That's foolish. This was their social media. They had to believe these guys. Nevertheless, the people that be strong that dwell in the land, well, of course, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The problem wasn't that these guys were not convinced that it was a good land like God said. They were not committed to do what was necessary to settle the land. And by the way, these things that they said were true, but God had already told them, don't worry about it. If you go in, I'm going to already have these people on fear. I'm going to send the hornets before. They're going to be easy for you to take down. No problem. By the way, wasn't that true in Jericho? Jericho, the very first city they fought, was the strongest city. And it was walled. God knocked the walls down and they took them out. They beat they took out the very toughest city on the very first try. But these guys gave them a bad report. So what happened? They saw it through the spies, but they never experienced it because they refused to settle it. So what happened to these ones that listened to these spies? Well, you know what they experienced instead of the promised land? They experienced death. Do you know what the 40 years in the wilderness was? You want to know what it was? It was a 40-year death festival. It was a 40-year Think about all the Israelites there were, and everyone over 18, they were in the wilderness until everybody over 18 died off. That's a lot of people. Figure that out. You know what? They were having funerals every day. And that wasn't God's plan. Instead of God's blessings, they lived purposely. I feel sorry for those 18 and under that had to spend 40 years spinning their wheels, just going in circles, instead of going straight to the promised land. Instead, they had to live a critical life, constantly fighting Moses, constantly fighting and being critical of God's provisions for their life, which really he owed them nothing. Instead, they lived a thankless life. They were not thankful for God bringing them out of Egypt and giving them something better. They did nothing but whine, gripe, and complain. By the way, we've not really changed in all these years, have we not? Instead, they ruined their families. death after death after death. And you see how they're, as soon as they got out, as soon as they get into the promise, there's even issues there. Instead, they missed out on the blessings. Instead, they missed out on God's best. We talked a little bit about that this morning. If only they had settled what they saw. Now, the introduction's longer and the points are shorter. If they would have settled what they saw, they would have won battles God had promised them. They would have seen God said, if you go in and do this, this will happen. And they would have saw God do it. But they didn't. They missed it. They would have had fruit, a fruitful land. I mean, the fruit in that land was huge. They brought some of it back. They weren't fighting that the fruit wasn't great, that they would get fields that they didn't even plant. They were fighting what it would take to settle the land. They would have had a great inheritance. It would have been their land. They wouldn't have spent years going around in circles until they died in the wilderness, the desert. They would have had great homes, and they would have had freedom. Now, we've talked enough about them. Let's talk about us. As you think about what the Bible shows you and what you've heard, if you've been in church any amount of time, what you've read in the Bible, if you've read it any amount of times, my question to you is, don't you see it? Don't you see that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? Don't you see that? We're not evolutionists. We don't believe that we're here by some random chance, that billions of years ago nothing exploded. Explain how that happens to me and I'll believe evolution. Nothing exploded and there's this primordial ooze and then there's a lightning storm and now there's a single cell and somehow the single cell becomes two and they get married and they have more cells and next thing you know, here we are. You say, that sounds silly, because evolution is fairy tales for adults. Then we don't, you're right, we don't have any purpose. If there's nothing beyond this earth, if there's no God to live for, we don't have. Don't you see that God has something for your life? Don't you see that you can have a great marriage? Don't you see it? Haven't you read the Bible? I mean, I get it. Marriage is going to be, there's going to be conflict. You know why? Because there's a man and a woman living together. But can't you see that if we follow God's plan, can't you see that you can have good children? You can give them something better than if you got saved later on in life that you got? Don't you see that? We don't have to throw them to the world. We don't have to throw them into the government school system to be brainwashed and told that they might be a girl, whatever the nonsense is of the day. And whatever the next thing that's going to come out, don't you see that you can avoid the wasteland of sin? By the way, sin always looks good on the front side, but it pays off horribly on the back side. Don't you see that? We don't have to be tangled up in sin. We don't have to be bound in addiction. I mean, someone's going to RU, if they get saved and they'll follow the Lord, that sin addiction should be broken. And if it's not, then something's disconnected. They don't see it. They don't see that there's something better out there. They're bound and they're listening to Satan's lies. Don't we see it? Don't we see that your life can make a blessing, make a difference in the life of others? We don't have to live just for ourselves. And I know we all got our own things we got to take care of. I get all that. I'm not saying be irresponsible. But man, there's something about life that we can make a difference. Listen, our politicians always are talking about making a difference, and they're making no difference. Look on the landscape of our entire country, and you can look at the conservative states. The politicians aren't making much of a difference. Now, I know some are better than others, but they're not making a difference in the life of people. Throwing money at a problem isn't helping it. They need the Lord. Don't you see you can experience God's blessings? I don't know about you. If God offers something, give it up. I'll take it. Don't you see that you can help change eternity? Don't you see that? Well, just share the gospel with people. That people that don't know Christ, that have no idea where they're going when they die, that they can find Jesus Christ. Don't you see that this life is worth living? Because see, if all you're doing is getting caught up in what's going on in this world and trying to achieve whatever it is they're trying to accomplish, it's empty. You can get everything the world has to offer. And you could look at it and say, is this all there is to life? I've used the illustration, but one leadership guy says it's like climbing the ladder of success. And you get to the top and it's leaning against the wrong wall. Don't you see that? Don't you see that although you have trials that you can get through those? When all you're living for is this life and something traumatic happens, all you're looking at is what's going on today instead of seeing it in the whole scheme of what God is trying to accomplish. Don't you see this world is not your only home? In fact, it's not our home at all. We're just ambassadors. We're just passing through. There's a better place. Don't you see, unlike the Israelites, that we can be thankful? We have a lot to be thankful for. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm like you. I have a tendency to like to gripe. How many of you are like that? You see the illustration, it's the black dot and the white paper, and what do you see? It's 99.9% white, but what do we notice? We notice the black dot. I'm a black dot guy. I fight it. Don't pray for me. Okay, but it's easy not to realize that we're blessed beyond measure. But when I'm in the Bible, it helps me with that. Don't you see that you can have joy in your life? People are looking for happiness. They'll do whatever it takes. You know, this activity, this hobby, more money and all this stuff, and it doesn't bring joy. Don't you see that you are not on your own? And I could go on and on and on. But the message isn't, do you see it? The message is, will you experience it? Will you try to settle your life into those things? Will you do more than just see what the Bible says about having a purpose in life and fulfilling God's will and having the good marriage and changing eternity and making a difference? It's you got to go past seeing it to saying, I'm going to settle in it. A settler is one who travels to a place to set up permanent residence there. God didn't want them to see the promised land. He wanted them to settle in the promised land. And let me say this. God doesn't want us to see that all that is possible in our lives. God wants us to settle our lives in it. That's the key. We're okay with a little bit of Christianity. We're okay with a little bit of seeing what God wants. But I'm just the kind of person, if something's good and something's being offered and it's the best, give it to me. I'm not dumb. Well, thank you. One person agreed. Okay, the rest of you, you're fired. You know, it's like if someone said you want a $50 bill or a $100 bill. I want both, to be honest with you, but give me the 100, all right? You know, you want McDonald's or you want food? I'll take food, okay? But we leave so much on the table. I think that's going to be the sad part of heaven, if there's a sad part, right? To see what we really could have had we just said, I'll settle. Now, that was introduction. So I thought you said you were going to be done at 6. Don't try to figure the minutes out. The Bible, the story here tells us exactly what we need to do if we're going to settle. Are you ready? It's simple. 4 little simple thoughts, and they won't even be long. First of all, if we're going to settle into what God has for us and not just see it, we can't just sit. We can't sit. Look at verse 9 of Judges 18. After the spies tell what's going on, they say this. And they said, arise, that we may go against them. Remember what the others, the 10 of the 12 spies said? Nevertheless, we can't. These guys said, let's get up and let's go. Quit sitting around. You have to eventually get up if you want what God wants you to have. You got to be willing to stand and say, this is what God wants, and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be a part of it. I'm not just going to sit around. I'm not going to just sit. By the way, we talked about having a vision for what God could do. Most people, that's all they have is a vision, and they never get up and do anything about it. And so the vision never comes to pass. In fact, doesn't even get close. We're just sitting around. We're just wishing good things happen. Can I just tell you something? Good things don't just happen. There is no spiritual lottery, and if there was, your numbers aren't being pulled. You have to get up. Sit up, get up. You can't just sit. We don't like to stand though, because when we stand in who we are in Christ, we become noticeable. Understand this, when you're sitting, you're complacent. You're complacent, you get to the place where you're okay with the progress you've already made. Look at these, think of the children of Israel that were in Egypt. They just came out of slavery, which was horrible. God told them and he brought them out into the wilderness and said, wilderness is what, two weeks at best from there to the promised land? And that's a temporary staging place? And they get caught up in that? They didn't see the good of the land, that it was worth the effort it would take to get it based on where they already were and based on what they've already experienced? They were already complacent. Complacency is a spiritual killer. It keeps us from going forward. By the way, Christians all the time become complacent. You want to know if you're complacent? Ask yourself a few questions. Did you used to serve in a ministry? I'm beyond that now. I give. I'm glad you give. How'd you like to be sitting here in the dark? Okay? But I used to serve. Okay. So there's nothing else that needs to be done for the Lord? By the way, there's a million excuses why we don't have to. Well, I used to be, now I'm in a ministry. I know, we used to be faithful. Now we're hit and miss. Did you used to share the gospel? You ever come out on a Tuesday night? By the way, the gospel's not going to get itself out. People aren't going to just magically get saved. Someone's got to tell them. And the Bible method is person to person. If that hadn't happened early on in Christianity, we would never have got it. By the way, when we talked about the disciples this morning and their obedience, God, he was calling them to become fishers of men. Get the gospel out. I think it was a big deal to Jesus. Jesus to be involved in giving, and I know we have a great giving church, so I'm not even banging on that. But sometimes people just get caught up to where, nope, no more. Did you used to be excited about church? Now it's just a spiritual routine. You know, and by the way, all of these things, it's very easy to happen. And not just, it happens in marriages, it happens in all of it. We get so, we're just content and we're just, well, this is just how it's going to be, and we get complacent. And when you get complacent, you don't gain any more ground. Remember, when you aren't growing, you are not only not gaining new ground, you lose the ground you already gained. A very dangerous place to be. Don't just sit around. We need people who will stand. You know, I like the hymn, stand up for Jesus. It doesn't say sit down for Jesus. So you can't just stand. Secondly, see, they're going fast. You can't be still. He said, for we have seen the land, continuing in verse 9, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Sometimes we stand, but we quit making progress. We've gotten up. We're ready to start on that path. We're not complacent with where we were sitting, but now we've got to start making progress. We're not moving. By the way, you know what causes someone to be still? They're content. And by the way, the Bible talks about contentment in a good way, okay? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We're supposed to be content with what God is doing for us. But we should never, and this is not to condemn or push you to some, you know, I got to work 75 hours a week for Jesus. But we should never be content in what we're doing for him. See? We ought to always say, what can I do for my Lord? We just get content. Right kind of contentment is what God has done for me. The wrong kind of contentment is we're fine with what I'm doing for him. The right kind of contentment is God getting more of me? You know what the wrong kind is? God has enough. For some reason, God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants us. And by the way, none of us ever get to the point where we're completely there. Thou shalt love the Lord with all. Everything's all. It's like constantly have to do that. When you're content, you're not going to move forward. You're going to be still. Well, you know, I do enough. And by the way, my goal isn't to get you to do, you know, squeeze all the energy out of you. We're not like that. You know that. But we all have to be involved. We all have to be faithful to what we're doing. We all have to some way do what we can for the Lord. Well, I've done it in the past. That's great. That's a history lesson. What are we doing now? Well, others can do their part. I totally agree. You know, we listen to, I've heard that truth before. I know. Well, Bible talks in Timothy, put them in remembrance. The Christian faith is an active faith. So we cannot just sit and we cannot just be still. Next, we can't be slothful. We can't be slothful. Look at verse 9. Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. See, a slothful person is different. They're not sitting. They may not be still. They're just not very aggressive. Do you know sloths live? They sleep 20 hours a day. By the way, some of you say, that sounds like a really good life plan. Okay, yeah, you're going to be living under a bridge. And then, if you've ever seen a sloth move, they don't make a lot of progress in the 4 hours that they are up, right? It's easy to get lazy in our life. We all have that tendency. We start doing things, but because we're not doing them with passion, we're not really doing very much. We have no urgency. See, and here's the sad thing. When we get slothful, we get careless. What do you mean about careless? It means we could care less. We just quit caring. We just quit caring. When you're careless, you're not going to have a goal in life. So a slothful person isn't necessarily slothful in everything, just in the things they don't care a lot about. You know what Pastor Esposito used to say? I don't know if you were around when he was here. Said, there are no lazy people, there are only unmotivated people. You can see, you could work with somebody, and all of us have probably worked with someone that's just extremely, and you, don't raise your hand. I've worked with guys, I worked in a union warehouse years ago, and like, they couldn't get fired, they were going to get paid the same as, you know, the other guy no matter what they did, and I used to joke around and say, if they were walking any slower, they'd be going in reverse. Okay? But you know what would happen when it get around time to clock out? Boy, they perked up. It's like someone gave them a Red Bull. And boy, they're ready to go. It's not that they're just unmotivated about work. Some people, they're very, very, some things they'll be totally in on it, but in other things, they're just not very motivated. You know? Boy, some people, and I'm not trying to meddle here, but maybe I am, okay? So pray for me. You know, we can't make it to church faithfully or on time, but we never miss work and we're always early. You know why? We don't have time cards here. Okay, that's between you and God. But if I'm, you know, I'm just a type, if I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to be on time. Okay? When I'm on vacation, I'm not going to show up to church late. I if I'm going to go to church, I want to be there early. I want to be there when it starts. You know, we don't have the energy to serve at church, but, you know, let's go hiking. You know, 12 miles straight up, no ladder. I'm in. It's like, hey, let's go soul winning on Tuesday for a half an hour. Bro, it's just too tired from work. Okay. We don't have time for soul winning or those type of things, but if we have some type of a social event, no problem. Tell me what energizes you, and I'll tell you what's important to you. What gets your energy? What gets your juices flowing? That's what's important to you. Could it be we struggle with our Bible reading because it's really not that big a deal to us? It ought to be, shouldn't it? And I get it. I know we get up and struggle with things, but it's one of those things that's easy because it doesn't scream at you, but if it's important to you, you'll do it. Then lastly, you can't be scared. Verse 10. When ye go, ye shall come into a people secure and to a large land. For God hath given it into your hands. a place where there is no want of anything into the earth. You know what he's saying? He said, look, I don't care how big the people are. God already gave the land to you. Didn't God tell the children of Israel that before they spun their wheels for 40 years in the wilderness? How did God prove that that was true? They sent a couple spies after they did enter the land. They were entering the land. They sent a couple spies into Jericho. And this is 40 years later, Brother Two. And Rahab's like, we've heard of you guys already. We have already heard what God did for you in Egypt, and we're scared to death. 40 years later. Could you imagine how afraid they were 40 years ago? That's what God said would happen. The wrong people were afraid. They had nothing to fear. And they're like, he's already given it into you. Wait a minute, don't we have to fight for it? Yes, but we're not fighting to get the victory. We're fighting because the victory's already ours. We're already going to win this fight. We're already going to win this battle. Don't be afraid. What is holding us back? Fear. We fear change. We talked this morning about the connection between obedience and change. We're fear being obedient to God because we don't want to change what's going on in our life. We like it and we think it's the best path. We fear failure, so we don't take risk. Well, you know, talk people about soul winning. God, why don't we go out and help us and we'll teach you how to share the gospel? You know, I'm going to do more damage than good. They're already on their way to hell. What, you're going to say something wrong and now they're going to go to a different hell? You, what are we afraid of? We fear other people's opinions. By the way, not everybody is going to be excited that you love Jesus. So why don't we just fear God instead? We fear struggle. You know why? We want comfort. I'm like you. The air conditioning in the Filipino class isn't working. Pray for me. It was hot in there. It wasn't even hot today. And I'm like, Lord, I'm being persecuted. We have this big air conditioning unit. I'm telling Brother Paul, that should work. What's wrong with these air conditioned guys? Like, my faith is shaken. You guys don't even have air conditioning, Brother Two, in Cambodia. But the things we get upset with, it's just really weird. So what happens when you're scared? You're cautious. Fear makes us cautious. We don't step out for the Lord. We get soft. And by the way, I'm just so sick. I mean, I'm not being political. I'm just being real. I'm sick and tired of this baby society we live in. A bunch of nutcases. You know? Well, your belief, I don't believe what you believe, and it makes me feel sad. Well, your belief makes me mad. It's like, oh, believe what you want, I'll believe what I want, but quit being a baby about it. It's America. You know. I mean, we're in Portland. It's like, really? Do I have to have purple hair? It's just, if it's not given to us, we freak out. I need my safe space. Just to share ideas? You know, it's just, we are so soft in our society and we're not going to accomplish anything. We're not. And I'm not saying we should be mean to people that don't agree with us. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not afraid to share my view. Okay? What's the point? I have no idea. Here's the point. Do you see what God could do in your life? Or are you going to be a person that says, that's what I want in my life. I'm going to do what I have to do to see that God can do that in my life. Right? That's all you got to do. God wants to do it. And if you see it and you want it in your life, just follow him and do what you're supposed to do. And it can become a reality. You can follow God's plan for your life. You can have a great marriage. You can raise your children right. You can avoid sin and the wasteland that it brings. You can experience the blessings of God in your life. And you can make a difference in someone else's life. You can help change someone's eternity. You can have something worth living for. You can get through anything that comes your way that's tough. You can realize that your home is in heaven and it's not this world. You can be thankful for the things that you have no matter what's going on in your life. You can experience the joy that comes with following Jesus and living unashamedly for him. You can. But it's not going to happen if you're sitting. It's not going to happen if you're being still. It's not going to happen if you're slothful. And it's not going to happen if you're afraid. Just go for it. Just go for it. It's the one area that I can guarantee you, if you go for it, you'll be successful. Someone could come and say, I want to start this business. And I think this business is going to blow it up. And I have God-honoring desires. And I'm going to go for it. Go for it. It may not work. Now, you can do things to put yourself in a good position. But I know this. If I'm doing anything that God told me to do, it's going to work. It's going to work. Because it's not my word. It's his word. Don't wander in the wilderness. You had those. The sad thing is, you had those that wandered in the wilderness, and they died and saw nothing. But almost as bad as to get into the promised land and still not get the results. You're in the place where God wants you to be, but you're not willing to put the effort in to follow him to make that your life. You want just enough of Christianity to inoculate you. And that doesn't work. Are you going to see it? Or are you going to settle your life in God's blessings and in God's plan? Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute, please, if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Let's not miss out on what God has for you as an individual and working together for what God wants to do in our church. Don't just see it. By God's grace, decide that you want it. That you want it. Like Paul said, I've not yet attained, but this one thing I do. And basically he said, I'm going to forget the things of the past and I'm going to press forward, press his effort, press his energy towards the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know what he said? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. The past is the past. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to go for everything that God has. I'm not just going to see it. I'm going to settle my life living for the Lord. What about you today? I think we need to quit dabbling in Christianity. I think we need to just be serious about what God wants. Let's all stand together. Piano's going to play. Did God speak to you? Don't just know what's possible in a life lived for God. Make it your passion to see it come to pass, to see what God can do in our lives.